Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast. This is season 2, episode 5. With you, as always, is myself, Zach, a.k.a. The Manimal, and my good friend, Justin, a.k.a. Nemesis Prime. What's up, man?
What's going on, Zach? So I woke up this morning, and the first person I saw on Instagram was our buddy, Harsh Spotlight, and yeah. I saw some snow in El Paso this morning, so...
We got some snow. We got some snow last night, and then I think it snowed... So I flew into town last night. I was in San Diego the past couple of days, and when I got off the airplane, it was about 11 o'clock, and it was snow everywhere. Not everywhere, but snow everywhere for like El Paso conditions.
Sorry, right? The nor'easter that was El Paso.
Right. And then this morning, it just kind of, you know, solidified and froze. I don't know if it snowed more over the night, to be honest with you. But a little light dusting. The roads, I was driving around today. The roads are good. And it's nice. It makes me feel, it's like wintertime. I like it. So how's the snow up there? Seasons.
We just had that nice big hit. We had about 6 inches on... what was it, Saturday, and it stuck around today. It's actually raining, so it's finally like melting like around the driveway and the streets, because those first 2 days after, the streets were still crappy, just driving around like side roads and whatnot. So
when was that? Because you were like, I'm stuck in the house now. I'm just reading comics because it dumped so much.
Yeah, it was Saturday. Oh, okay. I woke up Saturday, and it was just tons of snow. Didn't do anything. Didn't really want to do anything. It started Friday night, which was crazy. And I went to a comedy show Friday night with one of my buddies, and then it was just snowing the entire way home. Luckily, he doesn't live that far from me, so you know, driving a little intoxicated.
Yeah, it's always a little bit more fun with the snow out.
Right? Oh yeah, of course. So, what do we got today?
Yeah, so we got probably a little shorter episode today. Both Justin and I kind of have some busy weeks, so we're gonna just launch right into it. Of course, we're gonna start with our TV movie news. And I know Justin's got some movie news that he's pretty excited about, and I want to kick it off.
Yeah. So let's start off with our Star Wars article. So of course, Super Star Wars is so hot right now. Mm-hmm. So this is coming over at CBR.com. So Star Wars actor wants to bring his Rebels character to Mandalorian. So everything Mandalorian is hot right now, whether it's Boba Fett, Bo-Katan, Sabine Wren, and the most recent is the actor who voiced Fenn Rau in Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and the Rebel series. So a person over Twitter basically said, need Kevin McKidd to reprise his role in Fenn Rau in The Mandalorian Season 3. And Kevin did repost it and said, I agree. And I think this is something that would be really interesting because we haven't seen Fenn Rau since Rebels.
Yeah, when's the last time we saw him? I was trying to remember that when I read this article. Where did his story end for us?
He goes back and kind of is grouped up with Lady Bo-Katan when she kind of takes the Darksaber and, you know, wants to lead Mandalore at that time.
Right.
So with like House Ren, House Rau, and the rest of the Vizsla, whatever, the rest of those different houses, that kind of is where he ends. And it's like towards the beginnings of season 4, because that's when Sabine gives up the Darksaber to Bo-Katan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the last time we've seen him.
Huh. Yeah, you know, I think it's cool. I will say, like, the Disney Plus shows, don't get me wrong, this isn't a complaint, but the Disney Plus shows are super heavy on, obviously, Mandalorians. And with the success of The Mandalorian and then Boba Fett and everything, I wouldn't mind seeing some other characters besides Mandalorians. But if we're getting into, obviously, you know, Mandalore and that whole universe, it makes sense to have Fenn Rau show up, right? So
If he's still alive, hopefully he still survived the Night of a Thousand Tears, as they say, the Purge of Mandalore. But I think it's somebody who could show up and continue, you know, because we've seen a few characters here and there show up in Boba Fett and in the Mando series, so let's continue that with more in the Mandalorian season 3, hopefully. So hopefully we'll get Fenn Rau. If you're specking on it, or if you want his first appearance, he does show up in Kanan the Last Padawan number 10. And it's a decently priced book. I've seen him go for like $20 to $30 on eBay. So, you know, if you're not getting the number 1 or the number 6 or even the number 12 for Kanan, number 10 is a good issue because it's the first appearance of a character who is part of canon. And I think he's a pretty awesome character in the animated series.
I didn't realize that was his first appearance, the Kanan Last Padawan. What's his role in that one? Does he just kind of show up in like a panel or something?
He's in the series for a little bit, or really just in that issue, because Kanan's obviously on the run, and it's kind of that back and forth where it's sometimes it's the Clone Wars and sometimes it's post Order 66. So
it's been a while since I read that. And you know what? Not to sidetrack, but real quick, like with Kanan Last Padawan, there's so much hype about those issues and the spec related to those that I think it always overshadows how good of a story that run is. Like, I think people are like, oh, I want Kanan 1, I want Kanan 6, maybe now it's Kanan 10 as well. And I'm kind of like, yes, get those books, but read that series. Like, that series is really, really good. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So anyway, cool. So what else do we have? We have some other news. We have some Spider-Man news, right?
Yes, we do.
So rumor is, or not rumor, was cast, Spider-Man spinoff Madame Web cast Dakota Johnson in the title role. So most people probably know Dakota Johnson from her roles in 50 Shades of Grey and The Social Network, but she's going to be joining Sony's Spider-Man spinoff Madame Web as the titular character. So there's been two prominent Madame Webs in the comics, Cassandra Webb and what's the other one? Carpenter? Is that her?
Yes.
Julia Carpenter. Yes. Yep. Obviously, the Cassandra Webb character is kind of older, like an elderly clairvoyant mutant who suffered from neuromuscular disease that left her on life support, though her abilities allowed her to work as a medium. So Julia Carpenter is more like the age group, I guess, of Dakota Johnson here. So probably would make more sense, probably be more of a exciting show, to be honest with you, if you didn't have Madame Web in a chair the whole time. Isn't that what she's like in the comics pretty much?
Yeah, from what I remember in the comic book series and in the animated Spider-Man series from the 90s, that's pretty much what you saw her. And I think she definitely shows up in like the Edge of Spider-Verse,
right,
first run with that whole thing. So it's going to be interesting, but yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how they're going to do this Madame Web thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know how much people want to invest in her first appearance and are really investing in this. Like, I get it how they're saying that it's the first female-led Sony movie, like, for superhero. Like, I just can't see this being a great movie, to be honest. I don't care. Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, when it got announced, I was like, wow. So you just went into like the bowels of Spider-Man lore and picked Madame Web as your character. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just doesn't, I don't know how you lead a movie with that. And then honestly, just to hear like what you just said, like, oh, okay, now I know why you picked it. Like, because you want to do the first female Sony check the box character led movie. You know, okay, you could have gone with Black Cat. You wanted to pick a Sony character that is like a more prominent female character to lead. If that was like your agenda, which obviously it sounds like it kind of is their agenda, why not pick a cooler character than Madame Web? Like you said, who even really knows that much about Madame Web?
Yeah, I don't, unless you're older than us or around our age and grew up in the 90s, because that was the first time I knew of Madame Web was the animated series. I think younger people don't really understand and know who and this may be my knowledge of not reading every Spider-Man book that comes out, but again, I don't know the last time she even showed up in comics was, you know, until like Spider-Verse, and that was like 6 years ago.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, like whether it is Cassandra Webb or Julia Carpenter in which book hits. Because if it's Julia Carpenter, is it going to be like the Spider-Woman books? Are they actually going to hit a little bit harder? You know, it'll be interesting to see, I guess. I mean, to be honest, I never really thought this movie was ever going to be made. I just thought it was going to be one of those, you know, and still, like, I won't believe it till it starts filming. So we'll see. But you're a Spider-Man guy. What do you think? You'll go see it?
Again, obviously. I'll definitely see it. I don't know how much it's going to be part of that universe with the MCU, or is it going to be like the universe with like Kraven and Morbius? Is it Sony's world? And right. How much of, you know, Tom Holland's Spider-Man-esque is in it, you know? Like compared to like Venom and the Morbius and Kraven. And I don't know. It's so rough with these Sony movies that, you know, what are you supposed to look at? Like, are we going to see her as a tie-in to the MCU? Will she have a part in the next trilogy of Tom Holland Spider-Man movies?
Right. Or the biggest question mark for me in the Sony movies at this point is, will they be as horrible as the Venom movies? Every time a Sony movie comes out now, I'm going to be like, oh my God. Like, Morbius is what? Is the next one, right? Can't count the Spider-Man movies because they're also like, you know, run by Marvel. Mm-hmm. But I'm nervous about this Morbius movie. It looks cool, but God, Venom is just so awful that like I don't have a lot of faith in this Sony, the Spunkmum universe. Oh, or yeah, whatever.
That's right. We talked about that.
Yeah. So the Sony universe, but whatever. I mean, more comic book stuff, right? We'll go see it.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Did you see, and this was a couple of weeks ago, and it's, I feel like we should have talked about this, but did you see that Venom 2 actually returned to theaters after they delayed Morbius?
No.
Yeah. So, and I'm pretty sure it's not every theater, but like when they announced that Morbius was going to be delayed until, I guess, what is it, April?
Yeah.
They actually re-released Venom 2 in theaters. I guess Sony thought, well, maybe we should just try to get a little bit more money out of Venom. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody cared. Yeah. To go see it.
Who the hell wants to see it in theaters again, dude?
Oh, God.
You know, and one thing more about Madam Web that it's very, very not many people know is that she is a mutant. So the introduction of Madam Web, like, I'm kind of confused as to how Sony even got the rights to her being a mutant. You know, I mean, obviously you can change your character like they did Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, you know, no longer mutants as well. But in the comics, that's what she was. She was a mutant initially. So
I think it's just because of the Spider-Man name. Like she first appeared in a Spider-Man title.
Right. But I think, I don't know if that's how it works though. I don't know. Tim would probably know, I guess, but because there were some other characters that appeared in different places, but they didn't have the rights to. Right. So I don't know. Who knows? Anyway. So, okay. Moving on. We're going to get into some comic book news. And this one's a really fun article here. So you guys may have been like, following and seeing the solicitations and the previews for this, either on like Marvel's social media pages or even in the comics, but there's an upcoming event this summer called Judgment Day that revolves around Avengers, the X-Men, and the Eternals. So the whole kind of idea is the X-Men are going to war against the Eternals, and for whatever reason, the Avengers are trying to be the person in between, right? Trying to break them up. So this article talks about how this May, the newly announced event series Judgment Day, which pits the Avengers, X-Men, and the Eternals against one another, gets an official prelude in one of the Marvel Comics' Free Comic Book Day titles. So, obviously, Free Comic Book Day hopefully is going to be, so it says here May 7th. Yep. I know it kind of got delayed last year. Wasn't it like in September or something last year?
Yeah.
So we'll get
towards the end.
Right. So we'll get back on schedule with Free Comic Book Day. And it'll be a Free Comic Book Day Avengers X-Men #1. So main cover is going to be artist Valerio Scheide and a 1-in-1,000 variant cover by everyone's favorite Peach Momoka. So going to have three separate stories. And this book, you know, it could be obviously. So we've seen recently in modern history, right? Like these Free Comic Book Days kind of spike spec wise, right? They've kind of been using them to somewhat introduce new characters. And this one, they're also saying that the third and final story is going to be the debut of some character named Bloodline, who's a new hero that Marvel has big plans for this year. So could this be a spec book? Possibly. You know, you might definitely want to pick it up. But what do you think? You saw the covers, right?
Yeah, I do like the Peach one. I just don't think enough. Yeah, it's an interesting Peach cover with all the, you know, with the big Jean Grey on it and, you know, in the forefront and then all the little characters around her. I think it's a good Peach cover. And, you know, because there's just so many out there. But, you know, the thing is, I really don't like how they quoted Marvel saying that with the debut of Bloodline and they have big plans for him this year.
Right.
That's the problem is like when you introduce a character or when you tell people to go out and buy a character, there's never that organic like likability.
Yeah.
This whole year we've only, you know, we're in February. We've already had 4 weeks of books. We've had. Every week has been a Marvel book that has just blown people's minds with first appearances, God of Hammers and Elissa Bloodstone and Tosin last week. Yeah. Like that was all kind of organic stuff. But when you're telling people that they're like, oh, we have big plans for this character, I guarantee everybody will buy the book, but nobody will actually enjoy them. You know?
Right. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that either. Because then it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, we have big plans for him. And then you're like, dude, so I have to follow this character, like regardless if I enjoy the stories or the character at all, because I'm a Marvel guy and I'm reading the stuff, I have to follow Bloodline, like just because you said so, really. Yeah. we'll see how it goes. What's but so variants though with so you're a variant guy and you know how they work way better than I do. I barely know how variant comics work, but how does it work with a free comic book day? Like, how are the stores going to get those?
So local comic shops still need to pre-order and they pay for the covers themselves. Mm-hmm. So they would still need to purchase 1,000 copies of the cover A to get the one in 1,000. And I know we haven't talked about this, and they're doing, so of course, you know, like Marvel typically does like 2 or 3 free right. comic book days.
Usually
the
a Spider-Man.
Reverse side. Yes. So the reverse one is there's a Spider-Man Venom, and I think there's the cover A, and then there's the 1 in 500 ratio that is literally the same cover. The only difference is the trade dresses are like flip-flopped. I think it's like it says on the one, it says Spider-Man up top and then Venom on the bottom, and then like the 1 in 500 is flipped where it says Venom up top and Spider-Man on the bottom. So
that's lazy.
Well, yes, that's lazy, and some person may not realize and just put the 1 in 500 out and just give it for free, but I would think most comic shops would look and notice that you'd have a ton of cover A and then like one of cover B. But even that, like, who orders 500 of one issue? Midtown, maybe?
Who's ordering 1,000 for free? Like, my shop, you know, well, first off, you said they don't have to pay for the free comic book day book, do they?
No, they get so much, they have to still pay for them. They're not free.
They're just free
like
for
they
us.
Actually have to, yeah, they're free to us, but you know, they have to pay for the shipping of it. And I'm sure, like, with this right. being a ratio variant, I'm sure instead of paying maybe like what their cost is, like, you know, like if a book is $4, I think they pay, some of them pay like $1.50 to $2 per book, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe on these free comic book days, they're paying 50 cents to a dollar, you know? Gotcha. Remember when DC did that one book, it was like a quarter? What was that?
Sounds vaguely like, familiar.
Yeah, it was like one book. I can't remember. It was like DC Infinite or something. And I remember they had like a Jorge Molina, Lex Luthor cover. There was an art germ, like 1 in 100. And then there was like one more cover.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Wasn't that was the issue? It was like the not after 52. And it was kind of when Jonathan Kent came back. Or I mean, not Jonathan Kent, Jor-El came back.
Yeah, like it was, yeah. I can't think of the name of it, and I'm going to look it up as we're talking. So it's the DC Comics year. Oh, it was the Year of the Villain. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Because there was like the Year of the Villain. There was Luther, Joker, and also the Art Germ. But that was like originally like a 25 cents book, but then they had like different variants. So you had to buy so many just to gotcha. Get to like the variants. And who, you know, shops... Obviously, at 25 cents, maybe they pay 10 cents per book or 15 cents per book. Not really sure.
Yeah, like my shop, you know, they always get quite a bit of the free comic book day stuff, but 1,000? Like, are they going to get 1,000? We don't even have probably 500 customers. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, that's crazy, dude. That book's going to be a high price, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. I would say at minimum $500. Cause again, I don't know how much they pay for, you know, maybe even like closer to $750, I'd even say.
So that shit irritates me too. Cause I disagree. I don't like this cover. I don't like Peach Momoko anyway, mm-hmm. but
of course.
This cover's stupid. And now it's like, it's a designed collectible. Like you said, it's not organic. It's only a collectible now because it's hard to get. It's not because it could literally be any artwork, but you've made it hard to get. So now people are going to want it. But not of its own merit, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, whatever.
And they've already done the name Bloodline in like Valiant, right? They there's like gotta be a, I think there's a Bloodline in the Valiant universe. There was a Bloodline story in DC. There's a Bloodline character in DC as well. Like when they don't they like Google names and like be like, oh, that's gonna be too similar to this character and that character, like because that's obviously the first thing I saw when I read this article. I was like Bloodline. I'm like. Yeah, I remember in the 90s there was a Bloodlines.
Yeah, it was X-Men
and
Avengers.
There's a character named Bloodline. Like,
yeah, dude. Who knows what's going on with this? But you know, I'm excited for this this crossover. I'll tell you what though, now because I think it's actually led by Kieran Gillen, who's writing the Eternals.
Yeah, the first storyline. Yeah.
So I've been collecting. I think I spoke about this. I've been collecting Eternals, but I haven't really read them. I read like the first couple issues and I wasn't really feeling it, but now I'm kind of feeling like I need to go back and I'm going to have to reread those, all those, to prepare for this. So maybe they'll end up being good.
For it. Yeah. I'm excited for it. Cause I remember like when they did the Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
That was a good, cool. That was definitely a good storyline. And there was like nice little tie-ins as well for that.
Yeah. So
this could be a nice, another big crossover between that team, those teams.
Yeah. I'd say just honestly, kind of, I wish it was just X-Men and Eternals. Like you can leave the Avengers out, man. Like, we don't need them.
I like it how they're the, like the mediator, like they're the right. in-betweens. Like when they did it last time, it was Avengers versus X-Men, and you didn't have someone to be like,
right,
hey, you guys shouldn't be fighting. And again, we don't really don't know too much of the storyline, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere the storyline is something along the lines of like the Eternals are claiming obviously that they created the mutants because of like the mutates and all that. I don't know exactly how it is, but they're, because I'm assuming, you know, X-Men kind of more or less taking over the world, and then now they have Mars. The Eternals are like, okay, we got to correct this situation. So should be good. Should be good. What else you got?
So moving on to some TV news, we have, of course, DC's Titans on HBO Max just ended with the third season. This past season, we got to see Jason Todd, Red Hood. We got to see Scarecrow, which we all, I had high hopes for, but ended up being weird.
Yeah.
But with that being said, they did announce that there is a fourth season coming. And with the fourth season, they are have portrayed and casted a bunch of characters for, of course, Teen Titans villains. So first off, we have Joseph Morgan playing Sebastian Blood, a.k.a. Blood, Brother Blood. We've seen him in a few different incarnations. We've seen him on, of course, Arrow, the Arrow show, which he really wasn't that great. We've seen him in Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go. We also have as well, we have Franka Potent, which is going to be, she's going to be playing Mother Mayhem. Mother Mayhem, we've also seen a little bit in the animated universe as well as Arrow. She was in the Judas Contract with Brother Blood in the DC animated movie. We've seen her in Arrow. We've also seen her in the Teen Titans Go as well. And last but not least, we have Lisa, and I'm going to butcher this last name. Ambala Nair, she's as Jinx. And Jinx is a character. She's pretty cool. She's shown up a lot in the DC Teen Titans cartoon series, as well as Teen Titans Go. She's kind of the leader of the Fearsome Five, which they've been around for a while as well. And I like it because all these characters, of course, are from the back in the 1980s with Marv Wolfman and George Perez creating all these characters. So the Brother Blood is like a classic issue. It's like him on the front cover with all the Teen Titans kind of like falling out of his hands. So I hope they do a good job with him because he was done terribly in Arrow.
Yeah.
And I definitely could see them doing something, I guess, close to the Judas Contract, which would be awesome. Somewhat of that storyline.
So the actor Joseph Morgan, like, he's great. I might lose some street cred here, but back when I used to watch pretty much everything on the CW, right, he was on the Originals, right, and he played Klaus, who was actually like a really great character. The show kind of went to shit, but as a villain, he was kind of like he started off as a villain on the shows, and then he kind of played that anti-hero where, you know, he kind of was good, but he always do fucked up shit. But in terms of acting, like the guy plays that Joseph Morgan can really get that like sinister feel to him. And he's like a powerful kind of actor where he, you know, he's not physically intimidating, but he can exude kind of like that power. So as Brother Blood, you know, I mean, I'm interested to see like what kind of portrayal of Brother Blood they do. Like, obviously you've had like kind of the black magic type portrayal and stuff, but I think one of the, something that I always thought would be really cool with Brother Blood is more like a cult leader, you know, like more sinister cult leader, like lean heavier into that. Obviously the magic and stuff's cool, but if you could like lean into him being like a like Jim Jones type, like cult leader who just does like gets his guys to do crazy shit. Like, I think that's creepy, you know? So.
Yeah, I definitely think that's where they need to go with both him and Mother Mayhem, because that's what we've seen, you know. Even Mother Mayhem, when she was in the Judas Contract, like that's what it's all about. It's a cult thing for them, and like you said, the same thing for Brother Blood. So yeah, I don't think it needs to weigh too heavy on the magic side. I think with bringing in Jinx, because she's kind of like a magic-ish user, We've seen her portrayed in different versions, like in the Teen Titans Go. Obviously, it's very kiddie, but you know that's what she is. And especially being with and with this announcement, maybe we will get other characters of the Fearsome Five to show up in the season four of the Teen Titans. So I'm excited for that.
I'm wondering who who's still around and who's going to be around in Titans season four. So we lost. I mean, I wonder if we'll see Jason Todd at all. Obviously we still got Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy, Donna Troy. Will we see her? I mean, she was kind of like back and forth this whole season. She's still alive, I guess, but like Don and Hank are gone.
I think you'll get the training of Tim. So you'll get,
Tim Robin. Drake. Yeah.
I think that's really Connor. All they need. I don't think they should really bring in anybody else. You know, maybe
a Flash?
Maybe Tara. Bring in Tara.
I think the people they're missing the most are they've been pussyfooting around Roy Harper a lot.
Ah, yes.
They need to bring him and the Flash are the two characters who've been missing the most, in my opinion. So I'd love to see one of the additions, like one of those guys show up. But look, if you're going to bring in Roy Harper, though, you kind of got to get rid of Jason Todd, right? Like the same kind of like character, like attitude, kind of a pain in the ass, you know? So Nightwing can't deal with both of them, dude. Like, you can only take one at a time. So
believe me, I would love for them to bring in Roy and then do the spinoff of Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Ooh.
And have Starfire leave with him and them. And or kind of like maybe she's like almost like the babysitter of them two.
Right.
But still like, jeez.
I think you're onto something. I think you need to sell that idea to.
I'm telling you, that's the wants I want. That is what I need. I need to see Red Hood have his own spinoff, because that's the one thing that we really haven't seen. Like, you know, when Titans first started, you know, we had that introduction of the Doom Patrol team, and then they immediately like got their spinoff. Like that was kind of like their way of introducing them. So right now, I mean, we've gone three seasons in Titans and in this, whatever you want to call it, HBO Max version or verse, this HBO verse, and we haven't had like another spinoff show. And don't get me wrong, Doom Patrol is good, and the fact that it's gone multiple seasons, but I'm not caught up on that.
Yeah, so, I gave up on it. It was too comedic for me and too zany. I don't like the zany type stuff.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping maybe this season they'll announce something, you know, once it starts and be like, oh, so and so is going to get a spinoff and be like, damn, that's awesome.
That'd be cool. So what else do we got? Are we moving on to what we're currently reading, or are we getting more?
Yeah, I think that's all we have for this week. There's not much news other than what we've, you know, given everybody. You know, I know everybody is also talking about Book of Boba Fett. We'll definitely be talking about that hopefully in about a week or two. We'll have to give everybody some time to catch up and read it. You know, I posted something on Instagram yesterday and I got reamed because of course I didn't give people. Yeah, of course, because I kind of spoiled something. But you know what? Sometimes I wake up and everybody on the West Coast gets to spoil it for me. So,
it was a revenge thing. That's the truth.
I guess
coming
it wasn't really because the person that commented say, "Oh, can you let people here on the East Coast catch up?" Yeah. And I'm like, "Well, I'm in the East Coast, and I'm only actually a state away from where the person was." So,
I actually it kind of was ruined for me. Not ruined, but like I kind of knew I didn't get to watch it till this morning, so it's my own fault. But I kind of knew it was coming up. But it doesn't, like, I don't know, man. It's still enjoyable. So, yeah. But anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into what we're currently reading. How about you start, though?
All right. So, what's your new topic that we're going to be also doing?
Oh, hot garbage of the week.
All right. So, hot garbage of the week. So, I thought this series was gonna be decent. Like, it just started this week, and you know, maybe it'll turn into something better. But I read the first issue of this Savage Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. I'm interested because I saw the solicitation and I wondered what it was about.
Yeah, so the whole thing around it, of course, it's Spider-Man, but they make him be like Hulk, where he, of course, if you've seen the solicitations for it or even like pictures of it, he's like, he becomes a spider, right? Mm-hmm. He is the spider like he was the 90s.
The other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So with that being said, the way he talks is all like Hulk, you know, kind of like smash this, but he talks and he doesn't really talk at all. That's the whole issue. basically what happens is it sets it up where he is injected with a drug. It's called, I think it's called like A+. So it basically improves himself, but it also then eventually what happens is it turns him into the spider. So in the beginning, he's dropped off on an island and he's trying to find Baron Zemo. But so the art's cool. I'll give it the art, but the way he talks is so like, let me, if I can pull up this issue real quick, I have it. It's just like every panel, it's just like, he talks in like one word sentences. It's like movement, period.
So it's Peter Parker, though.
Yeah, it's Peter Parker, but the way it's drawn or the way it's just presented is almost like a child learning how to talk or learning how to speak, I should say.
So is this coming out like, because I don't follow ongoing Spider-Man, but he was like injured, right? That's why we have Ben Reilly is like the head Spider-Man and like the ongoing Spider-Man. Amazing. Is this like playing off of that? Like, is that why he needed this serum?
No. This is like a completely different like spinoff.
Oh, okay.
This is, I think it's going to be, no, it's not weekly. I know it's monthly, but yeah, it's just very, I don't even know where this, I think this is almost like an Elseworld story, to be honest, because I really don't know where it lands.
I'm seeing something here. It says it's a relaunch of Nonstop Spider-Man, picking up where its final issue concluded.
Okay.
And I don't really know much about Nonstop Spider-Man. But all it's right. Joe Kelly, huh? The writer?
Yeah. So you have Joe Kelly is the writer, but I like that the pencils, they're done by Gerardo Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dope. And he also does some of the inks as well. And you have Chris Stottlemyre as the colorist. So artistry wise, it kind of looks like almost Stegman a little bit. Like okay. It's got that Stegman, even like Humberto Ramos kind of look. But as far as the storyline, I literally was, it was the quickest read ever because there was very little dialogue.
Yeah.
Like literally on one page, there's probably about 5 words, even though it's like, there's tons of stuff going on the screen. So that's my hot garbage of the week. But what am I currently reading? Of course, this week is we had, and I think I talked about this a few months ago when the first issue dropped, but this Dark Knights of Steel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really becoming Game of Thrones right now. Like, I hate to say, and I'm not a fan of Tom Taylor because of what he did with All New Wolverine. I hated that series and I really wanted to love that series. But I will say that this series is really becoming Game of Thrones with what's happening and betrayals and deaths and, bastard sons and
yeah.
And then bringing that all together and you having like the DC characters in it. And then of course you have a great artist, Yasmin Putri, like killing it with all these different characters is amazing. So we're up to issue 4 this week. So you could definitely catch up. Of course, it's going to be 12 issues. I absolutely love this series so far. And it's one of my favorite reads. Even and the variant covers are pretty badass as well, like the cover Bs. But the cover A's, of course, are done by Yasmin. And then this week's issue is actually drawn by Bengal because I was reading it. And the moment I kind of like got to one part, I was like, oh my God, I was like, this character looks exactly like when he did the Supergirl series for Rebirth. So I knew exactly like who it was without even like looking to see who the artist was. Like you can almost tell like by facial expressions or features. So that's what I'm currently reading this week is the Dark Knights of Steel up to issue 4.
I'm enjoying that. I haven't read the new issue this week. So, but I really like the Knights of Steel idea. Cause like you said, it's kind of like an Elseworlds. I didn't really think about it until you just said it right now that it's getting very Game of Thrones esque. I just was really the appeal of like the sword and sorcery aspect was like very appealing to me and like just a different take on all these DC characters. So it's a fun read, man, for sure.
Well, this week there's a lot of reveals, a little bit of a history. If you read the end of the last issue, of course, things that happened, but you'll see why I say it's very like Game of Thrones. So
sweet.
What about you?
So I, full disclosure, I haven't read my books this week. I was out of town for a couple of days and I actually just picked up my books before today or before we started filming this. So I don't have anything really from this week and I don't even have a hot garbage. So I'm going to actually talk about a series though that I've kind of been reading for a couple months now that I've actually really been enjoying, and maybe not so well known though. It's Chicken Devil from Aftershock Comics, written by Brian Bucciolato, right? Is that how you say his name? Mm-hmm. So it's really fun. It's kind of cool. It's like I don't know how to explain it.
I was gonna pick this up.
It's yeah. Basically, what's this the... guy's got a hot chicken like restaurant. His buddy is a piece of shit, and he's like selling heroin, and he gets them all mixed up, and then it just like things go awry. So this guy's like caught with all this heroin. You got all these mobsters who are after him, and like his best friend, you know, kind of screwed him over. And I don't want to ruin anything because it's pretty adult and graphic, and you know, it kind of moves pretty. It's fast paced. But it's really fun.
The, what is it? What's the show? Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Of
yeah, a little bit, right? I mean, it's got the whole you know the chicken store similarity there with Breaking Bad. But this guy is just kind of like put in all these situations where he doesn't want to be in, and it's fun. It's high paced. It's high energy. There's four issues out. I think that actually the newest issue just came out this week, which I haven't read that one yet either. Chicken Devil number four. But it's fun, man. I don't branch out to these to like the independent titles that often, like the you know the smaller companies like Aftershock, and I do really like this title, and it makes me always, I'm like, oh man, what other gold am I missing out there, you know, by just kind of staying to you know the well-known publishers. But I like it. It's fun, it's cool, and it's something different than the superhero stuff. So yeah, check it out, Chicken Devil from Aftershock Comics. So.
And your shop really doesn't get a lot of like indie stuff. So for you to really even have this and talk about this is.
So I picked this up, you know, when I got the number one, remember when I went out to Phoenix and I went to all those shops that one time, I think number one had just came out and I was like, oh, Chicken Devil number one, this looks kind of cool. And I just grabbed it. And since then I order all my independents off like DCBS. So they always come in obviously a little late, and I'll just read them online as they come out. But yeah, dude, I never would have found this if I wouldn't have gone hunting out there, because my shop doesn't carry stuff like this. So
it's always, and that's one thing that's really always interesting when you go into certain shops and like you see like their wall of new books,
right?
And it's literally just like Marvel, DC, and then Image, and you get a little bit, you get a trickle of like Boom and IDW, but Aftershock is always, you know, putting out like these weird titles and nobody would think about it. And I, when this first came out, I read the first issue, but I'm so far behind that it just happened that I didn't pick it up. But, you know,
yeah, well, you can catch up, only four issues. So
it's definitely doable. And I really need to go pick them up. And it's interesting because I was just looking at solicitations for books that were coming out in March, and I kind of need to pre-order this. And this may be something that's on everybody's list of books to check out on Image Comics. It's called, I don't know if you've ever read the prequel to it. It's called Loaded Bible, Blood of My Blood.
No.
Never heard of it? Cool. Uh-oh. So it's basically like Jesus Christ meets vampires. Like a vampire hunter. And it's written by Tim Seeley. And I like literally never, I just started like looking about it last week. And I was just like, yo, this is pretty crazy. So it's going to be coming out. So the original of it's like literally Jesus is a vampire hunter.
Okay.
So they had an original miniseries, and now it's coming back after quite a long time.
So it's kind of like Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter, but with Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
That was so bad though.
Oh, well, that was really bad. But yeah, I'm definitely going to check this out. Like, I'm like, that's pretty dope. Like, you know, not being religious, you know, in this podcast type of thing, but hell, I'll take Jesus Christ fighting some vampires. Hell hey, yeah.
I mean, it's right up his alley. He's got all that holy water. He can just pretty much bless it right away. You know,
yeah.
He's a carpenter. So he's good with wood. He's good with wood. So he can make some steaks. So.
See? So yeah, it's a 6-issue miniseries. Like I said, it's got Tim Seeley on it as the writer, and it looks pretty badass. So I'm excited to read that coming out in March. So maybe you should put that, if anybody's whoever's listening to and wants something different, get yourself some Loaded Bible, Blood of My Blood.
And you said it's Image, right?
Yeah, Image Comics. Okay. And I'm sure this is not like a book that maybe people like local comic shops may even order a ton of, because it's not like a main ongoing. And in fact, that's only a mini. They may order a few copies just to have them in their shop.
Yeah.
But you know, like with most titles, you know, everything right now on the Image sides, it's like Spawn and Saga.
Right. So. Yeah. Did you, a side note, did you read the new Noctera this week?
I did not.
Okay. I'm excited to read that.
But yes, I will get to it. I did kind of just kind of open the book and just see the amazing art that we talked about at the end of last year with Tony Daniels.
Yeah.
I'm excited to pick it up because yeah, it's been on a hiatus for what, almost like 5-6 months.
Yeah. Did you read the Blacktop Bill one shot? Yeah, that was cool. I like that one, but I'm excited for the main story to come back for sure. Mm-hmm. So, well, cool, everyone. That's all we've got this week. This episode obviously is dropping on February 4th, Friday, like always, first thing in the morning. Like Justin said, mentioned earlier, we will be talking some Book of Boba Fett either maybe next week, the last episode comes out, but we might wait till the following week to discuss that. We might have a special guest who comes on and discusses Book of Boba Fett with us. But like always, you can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts. You can find us on any of our social media platforms, you know, Instagram, both Milton the Manimal on Instagram, Nemesis Prime on Instagram, and obviously the Comic-Con podcast, as well as our Whatnot pages. Nemesis Prime is way more active than I am on Whatnot, but hey, you know, give me a follow because I'm trying to get more active there here shortly once my schedule frees up a little bit. I'm assuming you probably got a sale coming up that you need to pitch for Whatnot.
Yeah, nothing. Well, as of right now, nothing this week. I will possibly be attending the Garden State Comic Fest this Saturday. It's a 2-day show here in New Jersey. It's in Rockaway at the Rockaway Mall. I'm trying to attend Saturday morning real quick, but I do have a very busy schedule this weekend. We are planned on having a guest next week. We do have an artist, one of my favorite artists. We'll leave you with that. He made my logo many years ago. So if you know my logo on Instagram, you know the artist. That's who we're having on. We'll be talking about his upcoming project, which I'm excited because I liked his first project. So I'll leave it at that. Hopefully.
Wait, you know what? I was going to tell you this, and I just kind of had this idea because I just looked at it and it reminded me. We haven't done like a lot of spinoff episodes lately, right? You know, like the Mutant Mondays, and you were doing the Star Wars stuff for a while. And I mean, to tell you, I finished the Wheel of Time series, right? The 14 books. It took me 13 months to finish these 14,000 page books. But I was kind of thinking I might start doing a little fiction spinoffs. If anyone's interested, let me know if there's some books you'd like me to talk about because I read all the time. And I got some other ones that I'm interested in talking about, but yeah, I don't know. Came to mind right now, but that's all we got today. So we are going to cut it and, we will see you guys next week. Hit us up if you, need to get in touch with us on our Gmail account, thecomiccompodcast@gmail.com. And, that's all I got. You?
All right. Well, that's it, man. It's been a good week. We'll talk to everybody next week.
Stay warm.